Good morning and a very warm welcome to you, whether you're here in church with us this morning or whether you're joining us on the internet for worship now or perhaps later on today or in the week. There are a couple of notices to start with this morning. The first of all is to give a very, very warm welcome to Nicola Price Tebbit. You may have been expecting David to be with us this morning, but unfortunately he's not well. But Nicola has kindly stepped in to lead our worship and lead our communion. It has to be said at very short notice, so a real thank you to her. Thank you. And an important notice about next week's carol service, that's at 6:30 in the evening. There is not a morning service next. Sorry? 6 o'clock in the evening. Sorry, you would have been late. At 6 o'clock in the evening. And because the capacity in the church building is limited, then it is really important that you book in with Michelle in the office if you intend to come to that service at 6 next week. It will also be streamed on the internet if you want to join in that worship at home as well. We're going to start our worship this morning with lighting the third of the Advent candles, and the Brunskin family kindly volunteered to lead that part of our worship.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For those who lived in a land of deep darkness, a light has shined.
Week by week, the light grows stronger and brighter as we anticipate the coming of Christ. The candle of hope and peace are already lit. Today we light the candle of joy.
We excitedly anticipate the coming of the King. The promise of healing, comfort, liberty, and freedom is joyful news that is meant to be shared. Together we proclaim to the world that in Christ we have joy. So as we light our Advent calendar, light of the world, shine on us. In this world of pain and darkness, light of the world, shine through us. And as we meet here with you today, light of the world, light the way.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you here this morning to worship God. And as we come before God, this morning we think about joy. And we think about John the Baptist as the one who points the way to the joy that will come into the world. And so we have our first hymn, which is Joy to the World.
Thank you.
Let's come before God in prayer. Let's pray. Loving God, as we gather together to worship this morning, we come from and we are in different places. We come from and we are in different situations. Each of us having our own joys and expectations, our own fears and anxieties. Be with us, loving God. Help us to know your presence. Help us to hear your word. Help us to see a glimpse of the light of your love. We remember those times when we have turned from your life-giving word and ignored the message of those you sent. We know in many ways we're unprepared for the coming of your Son. Lord, forgive us. Look on us with kindness. Help us to see the light of your love amongst us, that strengthened by your love, we may serve you more faithfully. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And as the children and young people leave us to worship in a different part of the building, a word of blessing. The Lord be with you and with us all as we worship God today. Amen. I'm just going to invite Gillian to come forward. One of the things that was to happen in this morning's service was an interview with Gillian. And so we look forward to hearing what she has to share.
Right, thank you.
Thank you. It's good to see you this morning. So, Gillian, how has God kept you busy?
Well, I think that some of you here, and maybe others, will have realised that God has laid his hand upon my heart for the healing ministry. And so when the lockdown, the first one, came, my first question to myself was, well, what will God be expecting of me? And the second question was, am I going to be able to rise to that occasion, and what am I expecting of God? And so having sort of debated with this a little bit, I thought, well, I go out and I pray for people on the streets and I pray for people in the shops. And, of course, I had previously prayed for people at home and have had a lot of people come individually and laying on our couch, and I've done prayer ministry over the top of them. I have to say, God has moved wonderfully in such occasions. But how do you do prayer ministry when there's a lockdown and you're not able to go into people's homes? So I thought, well, anything's possible with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have a try. So I have done prayer ministry over the phone with people holding their own hand over themselves, going down their body. And wonderfully, God has told me several things that they hadn't said to me. So I knew his spirit was working. And, of course, those people have been blessed. And I've even done it once with somebody as a proxy. She was holding the phone, and the person's hand was placed over the person. And so there was a three-way connection. And God still worked, of course. And all God's people said, hallelujah, yes. It is just wonderful what God does. There's no stopping him in the lockdown. So I also thought to myself, well, there are many things that I should be possibly saying, but I need a scripture. And having said that, then read in my Bible notes this last week, Isaiah 50, verse 4. And I feel this is relevant for me. The Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He awakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. And I've held on to that this week. And God has further said to me, well, don't forget, Gillian, all of us who know and love Jesus are God's key workers. And we've to be out and about and being bold. So that's what I've sought to do.
So recently, are there any common trends or themes that you've noticed in your ministry?
Yes, definitely. One of the things I sent out to the healing team, which is in 15 of us under normal circumstances in June, was an idea as to how to pray through the week. And I've put it on the notices for this week. And the first one is restored relationships. And then I've put down Jesus, others, yourself. And, of course, that spells joy. So that's really good. That was right the way back in June. And most definitely, I've had the privilege of leading one lady to Jesus in the lockdown. Again, a great, great joy. And also several dysfunctional relationships I have seen, if not totally restored, being restored, having had the people open up to me and admitted that they too, like us all, have to have softened hearts when the relationship's not right. It's not just one-sided. And that has been a great joy to me. But the place I've seen most need is restorative sleep, which, if you've read the notices, is Saturday's prayer. So many people during the lockdown have not been able to sleep, whether it's pain or worries or exhaustion. And a lot of people, it's exhaustion. The people who are working have worked very, very hard. And I have had several occasions where people have been desperate for sleep, and I've said, I'll be praying tonight. And the next morning, they've said they've had their best night's sleep in days or weeks even. And this is just such a joy. So it's very exciting.
So where from here, do you think?
Well, I've suggested to the office, if anybody wants to get in touch with me so that I can pray over the phone to you, please do so, because in the office I've given permission to have my details. And then Reverend Dave and now Reverend Nicola have kindly agreed that I can go into the crush hall at the back here this morning, and if anybody wants to come for prayer, please do so. It will be socially distanced, and I will be wearing a mask at that stage, so you do not need to worry. But please, please don't miss out. There will be people here today who God has brought you here because you need that personal prayer. So please do come.
Thank you.
So thank you very much for having me come to.
Let's just have a moment of prayer for Gillian and her ministry and our ministries in lockdown. Loving God, we thank you for your presence. We hold on to your presence in these times, and thank you for the ways in which you are working in new ways in different people. We give thanks especially for Gillian and her ministry and the way we can see you working in her life. And we thank you for the ways in which you've upheld, empowered, inspired all sorts of people in different ways in these tough times. Loving God, be with us all as we seek to serve you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
And so we hear our words from Scripture for this morning from John.
The readings this morning are taken from John's Gospel, chapter 1. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, 'Make straight the way for the Lord.'" Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, and the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Amen.
Thank you very much for that reading. It made me smile a little bit when I read the words from John, the Gospel for today. Included those words, "Who are you?" And I thought you might well be wondering that, because I'm not Dave Milner. I'm Nicola Price-Tebbutt. I'm a minister and have been a minister for a number of years. I live in Penrith because my husband James is your chair of district. I don't have a circuit appointment at the moment. I have one with the Connection, and I'm currently the Secretary of the Faith and Order Committee. So looking at what the church believes, what the church thinks, looking at questions of doctrine. Although I live in Penrith, before lockdown I was in London one day a week. So this morning was rather unexpected, and we had the added complication of our daughter Eleanor going to a socially distant party at Lowther Castle, and she had to be there for 10 o'clock. So I'm afraid it's all been a little bit rushed and a little bit unexpected. And I guess a little bit illustrative of how life is like at the moment, when we're never quite sure what's happening or what's happening next, that the familiar things have changed, that we all perhaps feel a little raw, a little unprepared, and can be distracted in many ways. So John the Baptist is quite a good companion for us.
in this time of Advent, in this time of waiting and hoping. It's been a year, hasn't it, where nothing's been as expected. It's been a year when the ways in which we've been used to living, and when we've had a sense of what's happening day by day or week by week, have all been turned upside down. It's been a year when I'm sure at many times many of us have been worried or angry or fearful or confused. Many of us are waiting for it to be different, to be better, for something better to come. And Advent's a time when we think about our waiting, when we think about our waiting for joy, for hope to come into the world. So it's fitting this morning that we remember John the Baptist for three reasons, perhaps. The first is that the work, the job of John, is the same as the work of us. His job is to be a witness, to testify to the light, to point to the joy to come. And that's what all of us, all the baptized, all the Christians, are called to do. To point to the joy, to the light that is to come, and how much that light and joy are needed at the moment. All of us need things that remind us of that, whether they're people or signs or things that point the way, that remind us of God's presence. We need those things that give us confidence and hope in things beyond our understanding, particularly in times of fear or anxiety or despair. I'm guessing that not many of us will have encountered anyone quite like John the Baptist. And I must admit, I'm not quite sure I'd have wanted to, for he seems a rather fearful and formidable character. But I'm sure all of us can think of people who, for us, have pointed the way, have reminded us of the light of God's love, have brought us joy. I was thinking a few weeks ago of one of my grandmothers, a faithful Methodist who tirelessly worked for the kingdom in her own way. I remember her especially for her hospitality. Her table was always open, and after every Sunday gathering or one of her many activities she was involved in, she'd often bring someone home to her table and feed them and offer fellowship. I think of my friend Rachel, who I knew several years ago, who worked tirelessly for justice, who was committed to writing, to campaigning, to champion the rights of those who couldn't speak for themselves. And I think of someone in one of my first congregations, Ruth, in many ways an unremarkable woman. She said she didn't know what she had to offer. And yet, when you spent 5 minutes in her presence, you had that sense of God. She was someone who radiated God's glory wherever she went. I'm sure in your lives there will have been those people who will have encouraged you, nurtured you, and in different ways pointed the way, revealed God, given a glimpse of the joy and light that is to come. So John the Baptist is quite a good companion today, for he keeps looking, he keeps pointing to what's to come, he keeps signalling its approach to others. When people flock to him in expectation, he points them to the light in their midst. "Amongst you," he said, "amongst you stands the one you do not know." Another part of the reading made me smile a little. I find it interesting that in the words we had heard, quite a lot of John's time is spent in saying who he isn't. He's not the Messiah. He's not Elijah. He's not the prophets. He's not Jesus. I wonder how often we encounter that. Because people are full of expectations and stereotypes and presumptions of what Christians are or should be. When I think back to the beginnings of my ministry, it felt as if I spent a lot of time trying to explain why I wasn't quite what people expected. That people brought all sorts of expectations of what a minister should be. And I remember with one family where I was taking a funeral, it was a family where there were Methodists and there were Catholics. And I could never quite overcome the stereotypes sufficiently so that the Catholics would stop calling me Father Nicola. John is the one who reminds people of Jesus. So in some ways, it doesn't matter who he is. His job is to point to someone else. And he does that from the wilderness. He is the voice crying in the wilderness. I guess many of us might identify with that experience, or have done these past few months, that sense of being in the wilderness, searching for the light. If you don't know, then my husband James, even before he came to Cumbria, always loved the Lake District. He loved walking. Fell walking is one of his hobbies, and he's climbed all the Wainwrights. So back when I first knew him, one of the things he wanted to do was to bring me walking in the lakes, and he took me out for the first walk. "We're just going up a little hill," he said. To me, it was a huge mountain. And there were a couple of things he'd forgotten. The first was that it was November, and it got dark early. The second was that I'm considerably shorter than him, and I go a little slower. So by the time we reached the top of the huge mountain, it was beginning to go dark. And I wasn't used to walking at all. So I must admit I was a little scared. Not just because I couldn't really see what I was doing or where I could put my feet, but because of the darkness that felt overwhelming. I had all sorts of visions of being stuck on the hillside overnight, of being nibbled by sheep, of one of us injuring ourselves. And as we walked down, James took my hand and helped me along. And about halfway down, there in the distance was a light, a couple of little lights coming from the nearest village. And I can't tell you what a difference that made to me, because it symboled civilization. It symboled the end of a journey. It symboled possibilities. When we're in darkness, we need glimpses of the light to remind us of the possibilities, to remind us of the end of the hard journeys, to give us hope and confidence and reassurance here and now. And that's our job for others. We might not have all the answers, but we don't need all the answers. We might not fulfill all their expectations, or even our own expectations, but we don't need to. The one thing we're all called to do is to keep pointing to the light and the joy of Jesus, the light of the world, the one who is now and always among us. Amen. So let us pray. And as we share together in prayer, after I say the words, "Come, Lord Jesus," can you also respond, "Come, Lord Jesus"? So as we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus." Loving God, come into your world once again. Come into the world as wisdom, love, and peace. to establish your kingdom of justice and joy. We pray for your world in all its fragility and all its beauty. A world that's full of possibilities and ravaged by pain. And we think of the places and the people whose stories we've heard or whose images we've seen over these past few days. And we pray for them. For those who are broken and burdened. Those who are struggling and suffering beyond our imagining. We offer them to you. Longing for your healing, your justice, your joy in new ways of being and new life. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Loving God, come to your church. We pray for your church, for all your people on earth, as we seek to share the good news of your love and joy and witness to your light and love and mercy. Fill us with your spirit of strength and courage. Fill us with your generosity and hospitality, your compassion and integrity. Help your church here at Penrith continue to point to you and help us be witnesses to the light of your love. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Loving God, come to your people as saviour and bearer of pain. We pray for all who are struggling at this time. For those who are suffering in body or mind. From those who are struggling at work or at home or in significant relationships. In the silence, we offer to you those known to us in need of our prayers at this time, and pray especially for our minister Dave. Loving God, enfold us in your mercy and love. Wipe away the tears of failure, fear, and distress, and set us free to serve you forever. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come to us from heaven with power and glory, and lift us to meet you, where with all your saints and angels we will live with you forever. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. In this morning's service, we share together in bread and wine of communion. And we will come and distribute the bread and the wine to you. If you don't wish to receive the elements, and all are welcome to receive, then just leave your hands crossed in your lap and I'll offer a blessing. So as we prepare to share in communion together, we offer to God our thanks. We remember how the Lord God called all things into being. When we rejected his love, he did not give us up. He made a covenant with us, and in the fullness of time, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be amongst us. We praise and thank God that on our Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We remember that in the same way he took the cup of wine, gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." So remembering Jesus' death and resurrection, and in obedience to his command, we celebrate the offering of his eternal sacrifice until he comes again. Loving God, accept us as a living sacrifice, a people for your praise, and pour out your Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Refashion us in your image, that we may be ready at the coming of our Lord Jesus. The bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup we take is a sharing in the blood of Christ. Happy are those who share in God's feast. And so as you prepare to receive the bread and wine, we remember that all who are hungry are welcome to eat. All who are thirsty are welcome to drink. Amen. So I invite the stewards to come and help me as we share the bread and the wine together. If you hold on to the bread, and then I'll say a word, and then we'll all eat it at the same time, and then we'll bring round the wine, and if you hold on to your cups, and then we'll all share in the wine at the same time.
body of Christ, given for you. The blood of Christ keep you in eternal life. Amen. And so we pray. We thank you, Lord, for feeding us with the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation. Keep us in your grace. And at the coming of Christ in glory, bring us with all your saints into the life of your kingdom. Amen. Our final hymn reminds us of our job of witnessing and of God's glory, joy. Tell out my soul. May the God of love surround you. The presence of Jesus guide and comfort you. And the power of the Holy Spirit inspire you and bring you peace, now and always. Amen.